Holy cow, the years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? But it's not too late to change your life this year. If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computers on and off before they started. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, it's mycomputercareer.edu. The First Take Your Take podcast is presented by Capital One. This is Banking Reimagined. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. There's a new collective bargaining agreement proposal out that looks like it's moving forward. Optimism that there might be an agreement between players and teams soon. As part of that CBA, there's the proposal of an expansion to 17 games and expansion of the NFL playoffs. So I'm putting you in charge of the NFL, and I'm asking you, how would you format the NFL playoffs? That's how you get in on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Tell us how you would format the NFL playoffs. You can also tweet me, at Jason Fitz. Give me your thoughts there. We're going to get to that. Plus, Emmett Smith said some things that just I'm ready to erupt over. We're going to get to that also. But first, it's time for some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And it comes in the form of Los Angeles basketball. Max and Stephen A. are out in Vegas. They're getting ready for the fight this weekend. You can't be that close to the West Coast and not have the Lakers and Clippers on their mind. They did, as they started to break down who they have more faith in moving forward to win the championship. Is it LeBron or Kawhi?
Listen, Max says LeBron, Kawhi, is the best player in the world. I disagree with that. I think that Kawhi Leonard is a superstar. I think he's one of the top five players in the game. I got mad respect for him. But LeBron James is the top two candidate for league MVP honors this year, the way that he has been balling. And what I think that people miss is great. And I know Kawhi Leonard obviously plays better defense. Please, I'm not oblivious to all of that. But I think that when you look at Kawhi Leonard, he is a guy that can score on anybody. He's not necessarily a guy that makes the others around him better. Doc Rivers will do that. Lou Williams and others will ultimately step up and handle their business. I think the Clippers are a better team right now with the acquisitions of Marcus Morris and Reggie Jackson to add to what they already had. But if you're talking about just straight up LeBron and Kawhi, in a postseason matchup where it comes down to their individual impact on a game. What I'm stating here to answer the question in this way is that I think that LeBron would have a greater impact on an equal playing field than Kawhi would. I think right now Kawhi has the better, more complete team. And I think he has the better coach. But I think individually, straight up, I think LeBron James has more of an impact than Kawhi Leonard.
I think everyone's been missing it on Kawhi for a couple of years now, and I think there's a good reason for it. He had to work so hard and start from a much lower place to get to where he is. His talent is not as obvious and transcendent on the offensive end as LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and guys like that. Kobe Bryant, once upon a time, guys like that, where it's like, whoa, it's just obvious. But he's built there steadily, and he's not quite those guys offensively. He's a half a notch, maybe a hair below them, but he's just about there. And then he's a great defender. But beyond that, he's a killer when it counts the most. With the game on the line, you want the ball in his hands. He's a willing passer. He's got to be a much better passer as his career has gone on. but he'll always play the game the right way. But the right way for him to play the game at this point in his career, because his team needs him to, is to be the leading scorer. And look when he does that, when it matters most, throughout the playoffs last year against Embiid and Simmons, that miracle shot, and throughout that series against the Greek Freak, picking him up, as you mentioned, Stephen A., when he picked him up half court, like when he funneled him toward the bigs, whatever it was, he played the best pot when he was the primary defender, the best possible job that anyone could do on the Greek Freak, basically shut him down. And on the other end, was the best player on the floor, which means both ends, which means he's the best player on the floor when it mattered the most. And then in the finals, of course, if KD and Klay don't get hurt, you could argue just Klay alone. I'd say KD and Klay. Of course, that team was going to beat any team. That doesn't mean KD's better than Kawhi. It means his team is better. Then when it mattered the most this year, opening day, he got LeBron. Christmas Day, he got LeBron. He was the best player on the floor. All-Star game, he was the best player on the floor. And what else? His team won. Stephen A., he's not as good as LeBron once was, and he's not as good as Antetokounmpo is going to be. But we ain't talking about what was and what's going to be. We're talking about right now. The dude, if you're trying to win a championship, is the guy you want.
Well, right now, LeBron James is a top two candidate. Right now, LeBron James is a top two candidate for league MVP honors. Right now, everybody and their grandmother knows that if LeBron and AD bring their A game, they'll probably win the chip. Okay? This is just with those two alone.
Which is what
Magic Johnson was saying. In fairness to Max, he always picked the Clippers. My attitude is the Clippers, because of the acquisitions, are better now. But I'm telling you right now, the ultra neutralizing factor is Anthony Davis and LeBron James.
If they bring
their A game, nobody is beating the Lakers. That's how great LeBron is.
Let me say this. If you're starting from scratch, you have no other players on your team. Mm-hmm. LeBron James by himself gets you farther than Kawhi Leonard by himself. However, given similar teams, Kawhi will get you a championship where LeBron may not. When it matters most, Kawhi is a killer both ends of the floor.
Okay, so based on that premise, Stephen A., Kawhi is only one ring away from LeBron.
Yes.
If the Lakers, everything's all teed up for them to win it all this season, if they lose it, is it a complete failure?
Well, I'm not going to say it's a failure to me, because I had them winning the championship. To me, Anthony Davis and LeBron James are just that elite. And the fact of the matter is that if they bring their game, they shouldn't be beat. If they bring their game and they still get beat, I got to tip my cap to them. And ultimately, if it's at the hands of Kawhi Leonard, then I got to bow down. Because I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to get into it again, but I'm going to tell you, I meant what I said. I was told directly that Kawhi Leonard said to somebody, "Tell LeBron stop being scared to guard me. He is coming for this man." Listen, he came to L.A. We saw the commercials. We saw the advertisements. We saw them in head-to-head competition against one another. The man has done everything under the sun to send the message to LeBron, "I'm coming. I'm coming to your city. I'm coming to your arena. Whatever crown you think you had, I'm coming to take it." And LeBron has to stand up.
And here's
and
the difference.
Answer that call.
And by the
he
way,
has
LeBron
to do
could
it.
Get his third finals MVP with three different teams, or Kawhi could get his third finals MVP with three different teams.
Interesting,
right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what it reminds me of? And by the way, I don't buy the if he doesn't bring his A game argument, only because Kawhi's going to guard LeBron.
Right.
That's why he won't have it.
We're about to find out.
Look like he doesn't have his A game, because Kawhi made sure of that once when he was a puppy on the Spurs.
But tell the truth.
He's going to do it again.
But tell the truth. It ain't just Kawhi.
Of course.
It's Kawhi. It's Marcus. It's Patrick Beverly. It's Paul George.
Let's be honest.
They got four dudes to go at LeBron.
In the modern NBA, the offensive superstars never going to get totally shut down over the course of a game by one guy.
Gotcha.
Right? That's reality. But when it matters, Kawhi's going to do it. You know what it reminds me of? Once upon a time, there was another Laker point guard, 6'8", 6'9", mm-hmm. who was the best player in the game.
Right.
Magic Johnson.
Right.
And a young Michael Jordan was coming for him. He was coming for Magic. He wanted to be recognized. He wanted to win the chip and
but
be
Pippen
recognized as better than Magic.
But Pippen had to guard him.
Pippen had to guard Magic.
Pippen had to pick him up 94 feet. Yeah.
Pippen was 6'7",
exactly.
6'8". Jordan was 6'6".
Right.
Kawhi's a little bigger than Mike, and LeBron's a little shorter than Magic, so it's an even better matchup. But the point was, that was the dude MJ wanted.
I will say this last point, and it's an aside. Yes. It's an aside. I'm just making a prediction here.
Okay.
All of this talk is going to be null and void once Kevin Durant comes back.
Oh, I can't
Y'all
wait
Y'all remember
for
I said that. You better tell I said that. Because let me tell you something right now. As an offensive weapon, Kevin Durant is an entirely different beast than LeBron James.
Okay.
And Kawhi knows it.
Hold up. If we're going to go next year, what about the Warriors? Are they going to be back in the
mix?
Yes,
they will.
Healthy?
Yes, they will. As long as Klay Thompson and Steph Curry is on the court, the Warriors will be a title contender. It's the greatest shooting backcourt in the history of basketball.
NBA is so good right now.
What Lacob said about a dynasty, he's not wrong, because the core of the dynasty, KD made it unfair no one could win.
Yeah.
The core of the dynasty that made them a dominant team was Steph, Klay, and Dre. They still have all three going forward, and they have multiple number one picks in 2 or 3 years. They have a number one pick every year, and 1 year they have multiple number one picks. They are set up for another
run. Go watch video of Kevin Durant working out. He's coming.
Yeah.
Oh, and that is Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. The NBA going to get all the villains back next year. KD, the Warriors. But in the meantime, doors still open for the Lakers and Clippers. In the meantime, we're taking your calls, your take on how would you format the NFL playoffs. Would you add the extra team? Would you keep the extra game? How would you format the NFL playoffs? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me, at Jason Fitz. Travis in Illinois, thanks for calling the show. What's your take? How would you format the playoffs?
Hey, Fitz, how's it going, bud?
Man, I'm great. How are you?
Doing great. I think I might have actually solved all the NFL issues here.
Okay.
You can go to a 17-game season, but that 17 games is essentially the first round of the playoffs. Everybody that's in the playoffs, the normal format, best six on each side, all get the bye. The 7 and 8 in both conference play a play-in game to get into the playoffs. Everybody else, you put them in a tournament setting, and they play for draft positions. It gets rid of tanking. It gets them 17 games. And it kind of evens the playing field in the playoffs. I think the top two seeds getting a bye and home field advantage, a little bit too much, so solves everything.
Travis, that is my God, that's a beefy concept. The only thing is that I don't think tanking is really that big of an issue in the NFL. It is in the NBA. We know that. We all thought that the Dolphins were tanking, and what'd they do? They turn around and won a bunch of games at the end of the year, and they still might get the quarterback they were supposedly tanking for. I feel like we're trying to fix something that doesn't need to be fixed, but I want to keep getting your take on it, how you would format the NFL playoffs. That is interesting. I'll give Travis credit. That's the most interesting proposal of the day. First Take, Your Take, where ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save pay an average of $796 less per year. Speaking of saving money, Emmett Smith was on the Adam Lefke show, and he had a hot take about Dak and his contract situation and why Dak should consider taking less from the Cowboys.
Dak has to understand and maybe take another perspective. The perspective may not be all the money that you get. It may be how much of the money you're willing to leave on the table, because the Cowboys is a marketable organization. So if you are the face of the franchise, would it not, instead of taking 35, would you take 28 and leave some for Amari and pick up the other 35 through endorsements?
And that was on the Adam Lefko show for Emmitt Smith. Yes, the same Emmitt Smith that held out so he could be the highest paid running back and not Thurman Thomas. I have so much on this on My Take, but before we get to any of that, Stephen A. and Max, they had their take to get in on Emmitt's thoughts about Dak's pay.
Somebody needs to say it, so damn it, I'm going to say it. One of the greatest running backs in history, a champion personified. I still say Emmitt Smith should be ashamed of himself, and he should wipe that damn smile off his face that he had on it when he was saying what he was saying. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Emmitt Smith knows one of the cardinal rules. You don't talk about a man's mama. You don't talk about his woman. You don't talk about his money. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Somehow, some way, Emmitt Smith forgot that. This ain't about what Dak Prescott deserves or doesn't deserve. This is about a dude in Emmitt Smith that held out. Now, granted, he led the league in rushing in 1992. He was set to get paid, I think it was like $465,000. He held out. He missed the first two games of the season, the following season.
And what happened?
They lost both
games.
And then Emmitt Smith signed the largest contract for a running back in NFL history at the time. Go back to that press conference, which I religiously applauded Emmitt Smith for. He stood there despite getting the contract, looking absolutely positively furious. Why? Because guess what? He was saying it shouldn't have come to this. So now let's fast forward to now. Is Dak Prescott the reason the Dallas Cowboys have been the dysfunctional mess that they have been for years, if not decades? That his fault? The man threw for nearly 5,000 yards last year, 30 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. They had the number two passing attack in the National Football League. They had, you got Jerry Jones taking care of linebackers. You got Jerry Jones taking care of offensive linemen. You got Jerry Jones, Ezekiel Elliott, getting in trouble, embarrassing the franchise with his headlines, is in Cabo. You give this brother $90 million, $50 million guaranteed. Dak Prescott's never missed a game. It was back page news when he missed one practice. In his 4 years, he's never missed a game. He's been a model citizen. He's conducted himself with professionalism and beyond. He's been a face and a steady influence on the franchise. And we've religiously stated that the quarterback position isn't just about throwing a football, especially if it's for the Cowboys, because there's so much more that comes with it. And you will sit up there, Emmitt Smith, mind you, not Max, not me, Emmitt Smith, a Cowboy, a player who knows football. He's forgotten more football than the rest of us know. And you would sit up there with a smile on your face talking about how Dak Prescott needs to think twice about getting as much money as possible. I don't know, but I know this much. I love Emmitt Smith. I respect the hell out of him. He's one of the greatest NFL running backs in history. He's a phenomenal person and a human being. But on this particular issue only, he should be ashamed of himself for going at Dak Prescott
in
like that. It is ridiculous that he, of all people, would say that. That is
hard
wrong.
Cap
that
lead,
is wrong.
You have to rob Peter to pay
I know
Paul.
That.
If he wants to keep Amari Cooper, if you want the team. Look, Dak had a whole lot around him this year, a whole lot, and still couldn't even make the playoffs in the worst division that we've ever seen, maybe in the history of football, right? So Emmitt Smith, as a Cowboys fan, as a member of that fraternity, has the right to say, we need more than just
that. Was
just
that. Hold on, that was play calling.
Hold on, Max. Listen, it's not, again, like I brought up Molly earlier, let's bring you up. If somebody else sat up there and went like this, what Max getting? Why he getting that money? Come out. That's one thing. If I sat up there and said it, that's a problem.
Hold up.
Emmitt Smith shouldn't be saying
Here's
that.
Here's the difference. If there was a salary cap and someone who previously worked
Emmitt
on the
Smith
show
shouldn't have
said
that.
They won't be able to keep Stephen A. if they pay Max what he wants, that would be different. That's not the environment we're actually living in.
$80 million in cap space, the fifth most in the league. They have the money.
My issue. They got the money.
I understand what you're saying. Right. That is like unwritten rules. Here's the thing. You can sign Emmitt Smith back in the day, Ezekiel Elliott now, you can sign guys on the defense, et cetera, because they're not guaranteed over $100 million and their average annual is not going to be over $30 million
a
year.
But remember when you used to bring up Kobe and how the Lakers should not have paid them? And my argument
or
was
Derek Jeter on the Yankees.
But I didn't bring up Derek Jeter. What I said about Kobe at the time, because I want to remind our audience, my point about that was the Lakers were so pathetic so long, you sat up there and Kobe Bryant was box office. So bad, guess what? Give him the money because of that, because you stink and you had an opportunity to make the franchise better, and you can't. The Dallas Cowboys have had ample opportunity spanning decades to be better than what they were. Why is Emmitt Smith sitting up there and talking about Dak Prescott? Where the hell were you when Ezekiel Elliott wanted his money? What about Jalen Smith? What about with the guys on the offensive line? Why the hell are you picking Dak Prescott to point out when this man has been a model citizen? He's going out there. He's bought. He's won a division. He's had a winning record 3 out of 4 years. He's been in the playoffs twice. The brother has won a playoff game. He's done. He's done just as much as Tony Romo did over 10 years. You ain't saying nothing about Tony Romo.
Max, can I
they didn't
why
win you a championship with Romo either.
No, you're 100% right, Stephen A., and appreciate your passion. But let me. So what if Dak says, I don't want to deal with this? Where could he potentially go? When we have all these scenarios fantasizing, maybe Tom Brady goes to the Cowboys. Where could Dak consider
going? Well,
here's
the thing, Molly. If they franchise him, he can't go anywhere.
Okay,
that's the thing.
Right.
They can franchise him. And by the way, let me take another quarterback who they were uncertain about for other reasons. Not because, like, Dak has all the leadership qualities you want, but for other reasons, Kirk Cousins, they saw he could play quarterback in the NFL, but he didn't seem to come through under pressure. They knew he was good, but they didn't know if he was, you know, if he'd be good enough when they needed him to be good. They franchised him a couple times. Like, that's what the Cowboys are saying about Dak is we think he's good.
Yeah.
We don't want to pay him like he's great because look what happened to the Rams and the Eagles when they paid Goff and Wentz.
But I was saying, let's pretend Tom Brady goes to the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Where should Dak want to go?
Where should he want to go?
Where should Dak want to go? Because then he's not going to be franchised.
The New England Patriots.
He needs to go someplace where he's going to get paid. He needs to get paid.
As I continue to tell all of you, First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, let's remember over the last 10 years, quarterbacks that were on their rookie deal, 28 of them made the playoffs. 23 did not. They were not on their rookie deal made the playoffs. Also, in the last 10 years of Super Bowls, 5 quarterbacks that were not on their rookie deal or that were on their rookie deals, 8 that weren't. So there's no proof you can't pay your quarterback. Most importantly, Emmitt Smith is factually incorrect because Emmitt Smith says that he should take into account simply the fact that he's the quarterback of the Cowboys, and that means he'll make more endorsement money. We've got it from Forbes. What do you know? Last year, Trey Flowers, defensive lineman from the Lions, made $250,000 going into last season in endorsement year the year before. DeMarcus Lawrence of the Dallas Cowboys, $150,000. All right. Being a Cowboy doesn't mean you make more endorsement money. That's all I'm saying. It can be a part of it. But last time I checked, Baker Mayfield didn't have a hard time raking in the cash, even though he doesn't play for the Cowboys. Emmitt Smith, you're wrong. And your assumption that Dak should take less is absolutely incorrect. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. We'll take your take on how you would fix the NFL playoffs. How would you format it? We want to know. Plus, of course, it's another day, which means we have another update on the constant rumors about Tom Brady. The question is, which team can make the best pitch for Tom Brady? We know that Stephen A. had an interesting selection on that one. You'll hear it next. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Again, on the heels of the announcement that the collective bargaining agreement may be close to being signed between the NFL and the Players Association, and that agreement could include the expansion of the regular season from 16 games to 17 games and the expansion of playoff teams from 6 to 7 per conference, meaning only the top overall seed gets a bye. I'm making you the commissioner of the NFL today. Call me. Tell me how you would format the NFL playoffs. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bubba the Baker says, I would base the seeds on record, not who won the division. I would not add any playoff teams. Bubba Power! I love that it's on brand. It's always Bubba Power. Levi says, I don't think anything really needs to be fixed besides the fact that a 7-9 Seattle Seahawks team can't host a playoff game, but best record should. We've got all these little tweaks we want. Again, for me, I'll take all the playoffs I can possibly get. That's what I'm saying. One of the teams that was in the playoff hunt last year was the Titans, and the Titans are hot and heavy in the conversation about the possibility that the team may look at Tom Brady instead of re-signing Ryan Tannehill. Now, that may all be speculation, but nonetheless, that speculation that Derrick Henry spoke out about. Derrick Henry was on Bussin' with the Boys, a podcast with my guys Taylor Lewan and Will Compton, and his quote there was one regarding Tom Brady, quote, he can still play. Obviously, age doesn't matter for him. He's still playing at high level, but my question would be, why ain't Ryan good enough, you know? Tom Brady is the GOAT, no question at all, the best of all time. But then at the same time, I mean, Ryan Tannehill is our quarterback, went to the AFC Championship. Why would we not want Ryan back? That's Derrick Henry on Bussin' with the Boys, a podcast with a couple of Titans players, giving you the real thoughts from somebody inside that locker room. That raises a question, though, as we look at where Brady may end up. Who can make the best pitch for Tom Brady? Stephen A. and Max chimed in.
I think it speaks more to Derrick Henry's character than his smarts. Let me explain. Derrick Henry is a stud, and I get all of that. But what Derrick Henry is not realizing is that football, this guy plays this game, and he plays it at an elite level. Tomorrow ain't guaranteed. So if you got 1 year, do I think that Ryan Tannehill is a better long-term investment than Tom Brady? Of course I do. Absolutely. Tom Brady's going to be 43 years of age. And with the year that Ryan Tannehill had, of course I don't blame Derrick Henry sensibly coming to the defense of his quarterback right now, who's going to be a free agent and in position and in line to get money. All right. But I want Derrick Henry to get paid first before you even think about paying Ryan Tannehill. My point is, I think Tennessee, as they proved this postseason, is knocking on the door. And if you're knocking on the door and you have an opportunity to have Tom Brady as your quarterback with his friend and former teammate Mike Vrabel, who's your head coach, I don't think it's something that you should summarily dismiss. I don't blame him for coming to the defense of Ryan Tannehill. I get that, but I think he should be careful, because guess what? We hope that Ryan Tannehill will continue the excellence that he showed us this season. We don't have any evidence that he will. As far as I'm concerned, this year was the first year he showed up and showed us he was a quarterback.
I see it differently. I think Tannehill was clearly better than Brady this year. And I think next year the gap will widen, as Tannehill's now played in this system for a year. He's kind of made his bones, and Brady's 1 year older.
Mm-hmm. And I think that Brady didn't have any help, and it's blasphemy to sit up there and denigrate him in any way, considering how he was bereft of weapons. If he had better weapons to throw the damn football to, he would have had better results.
After week 7, Tannehill did have better numbers. And, of course, Vrabel and Brady won 3 Super Bowls together. Stephen A., which team can make the best pitch for Tom?
Uh-oh, Austin Powers.
I know where you're going.
What you
if
got?
I know you, let's go. Let's hear it.
I gotta say this.
Let's go.
I hope everybody's bracing themselves for what I'm about to say. I'm not saying that Brady's leaving the Patriots.
Okay.
I'm not saying that Brady's leaving the Patriots. But if you want to talk about a place he could go and make some noise, and I'm certainly not saying they should get rid of their quarterback, but Tom Brady with the Dallas Cowboys.
I knew it! I knew
boy,
it!
Would that be,
I knew it! You are so predictable.
If you want to get revenge, if there's any truth, and I don't know whether it is, but if there's any truth to this belief that Tom Brady wants to show up Bill Belichick and wants to make noise and somehow, some way wants to validly elevate the brand, because the Cowboys are the biggest brand because of nonsense and their dysfunctionality, and they steal headlines, not because they deserve it as a football team. But if Tom Brady went to America's team and guided them to the Super Bowl, oh my God. Now, I'm not saying it should, because I love Dak Prescott and he should get his money. But if that happened, oh my Lord, that would be the biggest story in sports.
They've got $80 million in cap space. They could certainly pay for him.
It would be the biggest story in sports. Let me tell you what would be so big about it. They got everything you want. An offensive line, talent on the defense,
a
great running back,
a number one receiver,
a deep receiving core, a fast receiving core, everything you want. And when they don't make the playoffs with Tom Brady, boy, that's
it would not happen.
Extra bad.
It would not happen.
Yeah, it might. Let me tell you where he should go and who I think makes the best pitch, and I've thought this since the beginning. The Los Angeles Chargers. Number one.
That's sexy to me. Well, like the Cowboys.
That's why. Because it would be sexy with Tom Brady in Los Angeles.
It's not.
He could totally change the fortunes of the team and success, and the Chargers are the following. Loaded with offensive weapons, and yet never able to get over the hump. So you want, he's from California. You want to make your point to Belichick? Go get a franchise who can't get over the hump with talent.
You're not telling on yourself. I'm Diamond Max out here. This is Max Kellerman that lived in LA for what, 6.5 years?
Yeah, six years,
right? I promise you, if Max was out in LA, and Tom Brady went to the Chargers, Max would go see him opening week. And then after that, he'd be like this: I got better things to do with my time on Sundays. That's exactly what Max would do in L.A.
Because it's
L.A., it's the palm trees, the sunshine, and everything. Oh, please. Man, Tom Brady ain't going to get nobody to come watch the Chargers.
Oh, I would take...
Not the Chargers.
Hold on, actually.
Not the Chargers.
Actually, nice family entertainment. I would take my daughters to watch Tom Brady.
I said a game.
Here and there.
I said a game.
What if When we get a call for a remote show, would it be Tom Brady on the Cowboys or Tom Brady on the Chargers? He's on the Chargers.
Well, let me think about
that
one.
We're not going out there.
Well, it depends how good they are. If the Chargers are on fire.
We're not.
Yeah. Listen, the only
we're
reason
not. The biggest the only, show in town, the only Lakers,
reason
Clippers.
The only reason you know you go to LA is if you want some sunshine, a nice tan, and you need vitamin D. That's it. Okay? You ain't trying to
how
be
the
out.
Lakers get people to come.
Well,
out.
That's the Lakers.
How?
That's the Lakers. I mean,
oh,
that's
you
the
can't
purple
even
and gold.
Them.
The purple
not
and gold.
Tinsel right.
Town.
Lakers,
LA's a show.
But how did that happen?
The Lakers are a show. The Chargers would not be a show. They would not be.
But at one point they weren't, and they built it up by
like
winning. The way to make any franchise sexy in any town, no matter what the owners say about suppressing salaries, the way to make a franchise sexy is by winning.
The Rams won the Super Bowl, and you had a whole bunch of Patriots fans at the Super Bowl.
Okay.
They didn't give a damn.
Hold on. We got to wrap it up. So you're saying that if Tom Brady goes, they're winners. That's what your argument is.
No, I'm saying let's see if they are.
First take, your take. Tom Brady's not going to the Chargers where he'll be the second best team and the second best quarterback in a division for the rest of his career. Come on now. First take, your take. This speculation's not going anywhere for a month until he signs. Don't forget, tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. We're going to keep getting your thoughts on First Take, Your Take. Again, the proposal is out. It looks like we're close to a collective bargaining agreement in the NFL, but it includes a 17th game, and it includes an expansion to the NFL playoffs. So I'm asking you, you run the NFL. How would you format the NFL playoffs? Tell us, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Brought to you by Capital One. You know how it feels when you've saved enough for that long-awaited home edition? Now, imagine saving enough for an edition on that edition. That's the feeling with Capital One, where a new savings account earns 5 times the national average. Capital One is helping you earn more towards your savings goals. This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
What was in Stephen A's wallet today was a top 5 list, but not just any top 5 list. No, in honor of the fact that they were in Vegas getting ready for the fight this weekend, which again, you can get on ESPN pay-per-view. As they were getting ready for it, Stephen A gave us the top 5 heavyweights in all of sports.
I didn't say heavyweight boxers. I said heavyweights. Let's go to number 5 on the list. I'm going to give some love to the one and only Steph Curry. Why? Because I know he's injured. I know he hasn't played this year. It doesn't matter. He's the greatest shooter in the history of basketball. Everybody knows it's just a little reprieve. We know what's coming next year when this brother steps back on the court. Not this year with Golden State looking the way they're looking. He's just going to get warmed up. And then after that, he's going to come back next year. They're going to return to their championship glory. Let's go to number 4 on the list. Give it to me, the one and only Conor McGregor. Y'all know that name. Why did I say Conor McGregor? Because he's box office. That why he can sit up there and get $100 million boxing, even though he doesn't box. He can get in the ring, lose to the Mega Madoff. He can assault people back in Ireland and still sell out arenas and make another $100 million with another fight in the UFC, mind you. I got to give love where love is due. Conor McGregor is big time. We got to give him that love. Let's go to number 3 on the list, the one and only Patrick Mahomes. Why? He's the reigning Super Bowl champion and Super Bowl MVP. Somebody Max thinks is the best player in the world in all of sports. He's clearly the best football player. Patrick Mahomes is big time. There is no denying he's won a championship. He cemented himself as great. Bottom line is we can't deny it at this moment in time. Let's go to number 2 of the list. Are y'all ready for this? Jerry Jones, the owner for the Dallas Cowboys. Why? Because he's Jerry Jones. It's the Cowboy brand. No matter how much they stink, no matter how much they lose, no matter how many times they miss the playoffs, no matter how many times they blow a season, they still continue to steal headlines week after week, month after month, year after year, because somehow, some way, the brilliant businessman that is Jerry Jones finds a way to keep himself relevant by taking everybody's money. I'd say that's a gift. Let's go to number 1 on the list. The one and only LeBron James. I don't know how anybody can argue this. LeBron James right now has the Lakers as the second best team in all of basketball, the number one team in the West. He's 35 years of age. He's playing in his 17th season. He's still a top two candidate for league MVP honors. He's an iconic figure, box office, global icon. And oh, by the way, he could still ball an exhibition game the other night, Sunday night, okay, in Chicago, Illinois. They played it like it was a playoff game. LeBron James is that legit.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. We're asking for your take. How would you format the NFL playoffs? Brian in Ohio, we've heard some First Take. What's your take on how to format the NFL season?
Hey, Jason, thanks for having me. It's going to take a little thinking outside the box here, but if we use the English Premier League soccer style and go promotion relegation, let's add St. Louis back into the league. Let's have three divisions of 11 teams. Play everybody in your division twice. That gives you 20 games, a home and home with each team. Bottom three teams of each division drop down. Top three move on up. You can play for the Lombardi Trophy in Division One, the Lamar Hunt and the Hollis for D2 and D3. You wouldn't even need to go playoffs, but you'd still have 20 games since if you make a wild card game, you're playing 20 games anyways.
I am shook by the concept. We've seen a lot of tweets. You can keep tweeting me at Jason Fitz. Seen a lot of tweets for relegation. I think we're making a really simple issue complicated. Ultimately, we want more football, and we're going to get more football in the form of a 17th game, and now it looks like more playoffs. And I think that's ultimately good for the sport. Look, we're going to be looking at opportunities for bad teams to make the playoffs. Sure, until it's your bad team. You hate it until it's your bad team that will still have something to play for in the last week of the season. And now, suddenly, getting the top overall seed means more than ever, which means you're not sitting your starters. You need the seeding all the way down to the end. It creates extra drama. It adds extra drama to a product that's already crushing in TV ratings, already crushing in every possible way. I think this is a proposal great just as it is. Speaking of great just as it is, the Will Cain Show coming up next. Stick around. Thanks for hanging out. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio.